Well, good evening. Everybody get enough to eat?
Yeah.
Looks like you cleaned it out pretty good. A bunch of varmints. You guys are varmints. That's good. We had good. We had good food. It was good food. Everybody doing good? Everybody awake? Did you get coffee? Are we caffeinated enough?
There is more coffee.
For 90
There's
more minutes. Coffee. Can you make it 90 minutes? Who'll give me 90? I'm just kidding. There's no way. Thank you, Chris. He's on his third coffee and his seventh Red Bull. So don't take that too excited. Okay. God is good. What do you want to start with? Yeah, do it. Go for it. Go for it.
How you guys doing?
By the way, I'm Corey. She's Cody.
Yes. Just we have a lot of visitors here, which is so exciting. We're so glad that you guys all decided to come. Yay. I'm glad you're here. I love what Pastor Mark shared because I feel like it sets up this next section that we're going to talk about so well, because when we have our relationship in order, then we can start talking about some really, really practical, our relationship with the Lord, that is. We can start talking about some really, really practical things, things you can go, okay, I can do that. Okay, I can go home. I can put that on the list. I can work on that. And that's kind of what we're going to be discussing a little bit more. But we thought it might be nice to just tell you a little bit about ourselves. So I would say about half and half. What would you think that we're here last year? Maybe.
If you're here last year, raise your hand.
Okay.
About half.
Because we just thought we'd share a little bit about ourselves, like our first date.
Cody's an excellent juggler. I made that up. Juggle something for us.
Yeah.
I made that up. She's not a juggler.
But it's always fun. You're like, they asked kind of, what was your first date? And our first date happened when we didn't really know each other very well. We had met at a mutual Christmas party. And it was like, we had a good time. We laughed. We talked. It was great. And then I saw him one day at school because we both went to school together in Oklahoma and just passed him in the hall. Is that how it worked? Yeah.
I'm liking it so far.
And he said, hey, you know, do you want to go to this show? Me and a couple of buddies are going to this show. And I'm like, I don't know. And just kind of brushed him off. And then he asked again. At some point, I ran into you again somewhere. And so I'm like, okay. I'll go. Like
in Bible school, you can't ask certain girls to go on dates because there's a lot of desperation. Cody didn't put off the desperate vibe, so I was like, she's safe.
Yeah.
Literally, she's a safe one. I wanted to go see the show. I don't want to go by myself. I'd rather go with a girl.
Yeah.
She's safe. So.
And I didn't know this guy very well, so I'm like, can I trust him? Again, kind of the same thing. Like, am I going to give him the wrong impression? But I asked the Holy Spirit, and he said, yeah, go. And we were supposed to go with another couple. So I'm like, sweet. And it was supposed
that was
to be
my plan. Another
time. And it was supposed to be in town. And so he calls me. I'm like, yeah, I'll go. And then he calls me up and he goes, well, my friend's not gonna go. So it
my
just
buddy bailed. It he would not ask the girl out.
He's like, it's just gonna be me and you. And I'm like, okay, I'll go. And then he calls me back again. And he goes, well, the show is not in Tulsa anymore. It's in Oklahoma City. And I'm like, is this what's happening here?
That's about an hour and a half drive.
I had trust issues. Anyone else ever had trust issues? I had trust issues. And so I literally remember standing in my kitchen asking the Holy Spirit, okay, is this guy safe to go with? Like, that was a legit question that I had in my heart. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, yeah, it's okay. You can go. And I said, okay, I'll go. So we go on this date and it was lovely. We drove Oklahoma City's like 2 hours away from where we were. So I'm like, great. I have a 2-hour car ride. I am the awkward person who does not like silence. Guess who doesn't mind silence? It's this one. And so he's not saying anything. And I'm like, dear Jesus,
just
this
a couple
is so
of pointed
uncomfortable.
Questions. She ran with it.
Because he wasn't talking. He was not responding like at all. And so I'm telling him everything he could possibly ever want to know about me and my sisters and our pool back home. I don't know.
She's crazy.
So we go to this really great show. And then he takes to a really lovely dinner. And the whole time.
She ordered salmon.
Well.
We're beef people. Like, well, anything you want, salmon.
Well, the whole time I'm thinking, I don't want this guy to like or think I like him. And so I like wasn't touching him, you know, because usually I don't mind, you know, you'll just walk on the arm of a, you know, you're dressed up fancy. You just walk on. I'm like, I'm not touching this guy at all because I don't want him to think that I like him. So we go to this great show. He got like seventh row seats, which was incredible. It was blast. So it's just this musical thing, and I love music, whatever. And then we go to this really nice restaurant, fanciest restaurant I'd ever been in. I'm looking at the prices on the menu, and I'm like, these dishes are like $75 a pop.
This is back when you remember when you're first married, like some of y'all first married, and you shop on the right side of the menu before you look and see what you're actually going to buy. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, $11.99. That's what I have. What is that? Oysters. Oh, gross. But she was shopping on the right side.
Yeah, so I picked the cheapest thing on the menu. I'm like, he's a college student. What I didn't know, because he didn't tell me, was...
My manager gave me his comp card. So everything we bought was going to be on the house. I don't want to lead with that. Get whatever you want. It's all free.
That would have been helpful.
Right over there, faking a signature on a check.
I absolutely would have gotten steak. I'd never had
steak. Come on, where are the guys you would have told the date on the first date? This is free. Get whatever you want. No.
Yeah, okay. So it was a lovely evening. Ended with, there was like, we were by this like lake, this river, and there was like Sinatra playing in the background, and it was just like lights hanging. I'm like, this is so romantic. I just wish I liked this guy. And went home. You know, I told my
mom. On the way home, she's fingerprinting everything. Like, just touching the doors and leaving DNA. And like,
just
they
in
will
case.
Find me.
But I went home, and my mom was like, how'd your day go? Because she knew I went out. And I said, that was the best date of my life. I just wish I liked this guy. And here we are.
Yeah. It went so well, we didn't talk for another six
That's
months.
True. That's true.
But I mean, that wasn't our goal. Our goal was to just have a good time. It was a great date.
It was.
Yeah, so don't tell this funny story.
It's a fun story. Yeah.
And then it all came full
circle. The rest is history.
We don't have time.
No, we're not going to tell our whole life story. It's not necessary. So, okay. So Pastor Mark really did set us up really, really nicely for this next section, because really two servants in love is going to be the best marriage situation you're ever going to have. And the deal is that you do have what it takes to help meet some of each other's needs. The most important thing in our life is our relationship with God, just like he was saying. And, you know, the best formula for that is you get up in the morning and you spend time with the Lord and you pray. And then out of that overflow, you get to love your spouse and you get to serve your spouse and walk alongside them.
That may be a little foreign, right? If you're new to the Lord, right, new to the church, or new to this whole thing of finding God. But honestly, it's the only thing that works. I mean, the separation rate in the church and the world looks just the same. I mean, that statistically, they're very close together across the board. And we ask these questions. Why? Because Christians are trying to fix their marriage with do's and don'ts, and they're not going to the root, which is putting God first. And that's what you have to do. It doesn't matter. You could be in church your whole life or just starting. You can fix it right on the first day and just saying, you know what? I'm going to put God first in my life. And then then the rest of these like good tidbits we're going to give you will start to work. They'll start to lay out if you put God in the right order.
Yep. And practicing meeting each other's needs builds attraction. It continues. It keeps things alive. It helps to maintain our relationship. And each of us have different needs. We're going to talk about kind of the four biggest needs for men and the four biggest needs for women. Guess what? They're different. They're very different. And sometimes what can happen is we kind of expect my needs to be the same as his needs, and they're just not, right? So what can sometimes happen is it's like, if you don't meet my needs, I'm feeling rejected by you. You know, if I'm letting you know what I need and you're not hearing that, then I can feel that rejection. And so kind of what I think what all of us want is like, I want you to hear what I need and believe me, right? So for example, what I mean by that, you know, a husband might say that he needs sex, right? And we're like, no, you just need to cuddle. You don't need that. So you just need to, we need to cuddle more. No, what he's saying is what he needs. And I think vice versa, you know, we'll talk about some of those things. But when your spouse says, I need this, believe them. Don't try to talk them out of it, right? So let's jump in, shall we? All right. My it's not scrolling. There we go. Got it. Okay, so I'm gonna be discussing men's needs, because women were the one who are trying to meet the men's needs, and then Corey's gonna help us talk about the needs of women.
I'm gonna do my best.
You're gonna do great. I believe in you.
I had some coaching.
We've had some really good conversations these last few weeks. It's been a happy time. No, it's been good.
Leading up to marriage conferences will test your marriage. I'm telling you right now, it'll test you. So we had a good couple of weeks.
No, it's been good. Okay, so how the number one need for men is honor and respect. This is a massive need.
Mega
massive need. And actually, we're going to pick up to in Ephesians 5:22, kind of where Pastor Mark left off. And I did have him put up in the Passion Translation, because it just gives us kind of a different, it brings some different light to it. So it says, for wives, this means being devoted. And actually, I'll read verse 21 first. So verse 21 says, and out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. For wives, this means being devoted to your husband, like you are tenderly devoted to our Lord. Men and women are equal, right? And
not the same,
but we're equal. This is not a lot of people hear the word submit because that's the word that's used in another translation. And it really has less to do with not being equal and more to do with serving and loving each other. So I like how they said this here. You're respecting the Lord. I mean, you're respecting your husband like you would the Lord. And for me, that was really a light bulb, because it's not the way mama treated daddy, right? It's not the way it shows it on TV. It's not the way my friend treats her husband. It's how I would treat the Lord, would he be standing here in front of me, right? And so I thought that was such a great way because, for us, we've talked about this too. Everybody's starting from different places, right? For us, our marriages, we have a pretty peaceful relationship. We don't say mean things to each other. We don't yell at each other. But knowing how to honor him beyond just the niceties was a big question I had. Like, what does that mean to honor my husband? And that has really helped this idea of, if the Lord came to my house, would I make him make his own dinner? Like, I don't know if you guys know me very well. Our life is very full, and something that gives in our house is dinner sometimes, right? It's just kind of a fend for yourself. But that's been kind of like something that's been set on my heart going, if the Lord was, and he's been so great. He's loving. Don't worry. He's good to me.
Good at quesadillas.
Yeah. But that's just like a little example. They're like, if Jesus was sitting at my table, would I have him just spend for himself? No, I would. So I'm seeing that as another way I can honor my husband personally in my life. And here's the deal too. We can say anything that we need to say. Again, we're equals. We can say anything that we need to say to each other, but it's really, really important on how we say it. Right. So there's a couple of things of how do we honor our husbands? And the first one is allow him to fail. Meaning allow him to make mistakes. So if something doesn't go right, if he does make a mistake, if he takes a wrong turn, how are we responding? Are we going, you missed it. We're going to be late. I can't believe. Is that necessary? No. A lot of times we can just be quiet. Let our spouse make a mistake and not have to go, I told you. That's not honoring. That's not loving.
This is assuming we'd actually make a wrong turn. That's cool. It's theoretical.
Right. We don't backtrack in our house, just so you know. No. There's no backtrack.
No, we found another destination.
We're
not going back. I got somewhere else to go. Then we're going to loop. Okay.
It's an adventure, ladies. An adventure. Just think of it that way. The second thing is when we're, you say what you need to say, but we can confront our husbands. We can say the things, but we're not the enforcer. And this one also really resonated with me because, again, we're trying to do better, right? We're trying to make this more heaven on earth and less hell on earth, right? And so we can confront our husbands, but after that, we can say something to our husbands, what I mean, a need or a desire or something along those lines. But then it's time to be quiet and take that to the Lord. Because sometimes if we don't take it to the Lord and we keep on and on and on, what does that become? Nagging. And nagging is really operating from a place of fear. And really, we need to be operating from a place of faith. So when we make those requests known, let it lie. And let's go battle it out with the Lord and the Holy Spirit in our prayer closet.
Jesus. Get him. Come on, he needs help.
Right? And that... But in that way, we're not operating out of fear of what if he never changes? What if he never does this? What if he never hears me? That's fear. We need to be operating in faith and just take it to Jesus. Amen?
The honor piece too is the honor and respect for a husband is number one. A husband needs to know that he's got that from you and you're the only one that can give it. And there's also scriptures where the Bible says that the husband's supposed to honor the wife. And so this honor goes both ways. And what we have to understand about honor is never about... It's never about the person, it's about, or their performance, it's about their position. We don't honor based on performance, we honor on position. So it's really not about them, it's about your heart toward them. And so when we're honoring each other, it's not that they earn it. Because you read scriptures like this and you're like, we're supposed to honor, you know, the wife is supposed to honor and respect her husband like she would the Lord, right? And then I hear the ladies in the audience go, well, the Lord wouldn't leave the toilet seat up. I'll tell you that right now. The Lord's not going to leave jeans next to the hamper, right next to the hamper. We have a picture of that. Was it? This has happened. Have you seen that? No, but it'll show up. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't matter what they're doing. Isn't that, ladies, that's frustrating. Isn't it like crazy? Like you're 2 feet away. You're 1 foot away. Just why? Okay. So it's not about that. It's about, I'm honoring you because God said to you, regardless of the way you're acting or performing, the position is what's honored, not the person or the performance.
Yeah, that's good. And I'll say one more thing about how we can honor. You know, 1 Peter 3:4 says, talks about a woman having a gentle and quiet spirit. I think this is another scripture that can sometimes rub women the wrong way, because having a gentle and quiet spirit doesn't mean that you're weak or mousy. You know, gentle and quiet, the opposite of gentle and quiet is... rough and loud, right? How are we communicating? Are we communicating in a rough and loud way? Are we communicating in a gentle and quiet way? So it's all about how we are communicating, our tone, and that matters. It matters a lot. And so we can show honor by yielding to that gentle and quiet and not rough and loud. That's all I got. It's your turn.
So number one, and this is a very popular poll. They surveyed 7 women nationwide. So we know this is 100% accurate. No, it was a lot of questions, a lot of asking, different ways of saying things. But it all comes back to, ladies, your number one need, your mega need, top of your list is to have security. And so let me break that down a little bit. Security meaning... that not just that your husband is a provider or that you feel safe in your home, and those things are important. The financial piece, the safety piece, those things are important. But the security piece for women, when it boils down to this word security, is that the wife feels like and knows that her husband is willing to sacrifice for her best interests regardless. And that produces, ladies, that produces in you, if you think about it, that produces a sense of security. My husband's got my back. My husband will bend over backwards to get me what I need and as much, you know, much of the things that are feasible that I desire. He cares for me. He's watching out for me. He's putting me first. That brings security to the marriage, to the relationship. And fellas, for us, that means that we're going back to that scripture, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Jesus came knowing what he was going to do and gave his life for all of us. Like, literally asked the Father, can we find another way? Is there an exit somewhere on this freeway before that one? Is there, I mean, you know, Peter's a good guy. I mean, he could stand in, like, if there's any other way. And Jesus said, but not my will, your will be done. And so this sacrifice is really it's a big piece for us guys, because if we're willing to sacrifice like this and really look at our wives the way we're supposed to, that Christ loves the church, you will get the desires of your heart. Fellas, you'll get the desires of your heart. When you meet her needs, that sacrificial love, trust me, she will reciprocate. It won't happen in 5 minutes, especially if you have not done this well. But if you get intentional about it and go after it, and not just change it in your heart, but then begin to see things and tell your wife, listen, the video games and the TV show and the sports and the bowling league and the golf and the whatever, they don't come before you anymore. I put them there. Maybe you have. Maybe you have put things above God. Sometimes it's ministry. Sometimes it's those don't go before you anymore. I'm putting you first. And when you can say that and really mean it and then look after it, you're meeting her number one, one of her number one needs of feeling like you care for her so much, you're willing to sacrifice for her.
Yeah, I like, too, when we were kind of studying some of this out, they were talking about, I'm studying you. You know, a wife wants to be studied. A wife wants to be very, very known for our husbands to see who we are and see our needs, sometimes without having to ask. Do you know what I mean? Not that they're supposed to be mind readers, but as you get to
please
know.
Please don't ask us.
No, but I mean.
It's so hard.
But to really know your spouse. Yeah, that's all right.
It's true.
Yeah.
Know what you like. Know the goals you're going after. To my hurt, my needs come second and your needs come first. You start acting like that, fellas, things will turn around for you. You know, I think of the era my dad was raised in. And very much, some of your parents too, grandparents too, very much guy comes home from work, 10-hour shift, whatever, and he's going to eat and plop down on the couch or go to bed or whatever. And just, you know, no duties at home whatsoever. And we come out of that era, and it worked for my parents. They kind of both knew what they were getting when they got into that. And, you know, if it works for you, that's great. But I think we're in a place now where there's a lot of different types of relationships that we have to work out between us and see what that is. And so as the head of the house, as the kind of the leader of the home, it's not just my prerogative to do whatever I want. Come down, slot down in the lazy boy. And was it bring me chips, right? Just keep the chips coming. She loves sports and whatever, but that's not going to work for you for very long. That might work on a day. She might be willing to do that once in a while, but really to say, is there anything I can do for you? And that's the sacrifice part of it. And if you're both doing that, it works.
Yeah, that's good. All right, so the number two need for men. Can anybody guess? Does anybody want to holler it out?
Near one. I think they're really close. It's like a photo finish.
So the number two need for men is sex. 20% of women are more sexual than their husbands, but most of the time, men are the ones who are more sexual than their wife. So communicate to your husband that you accept this need. Again, it goes back to, I hear your need and I believe you, you know, and be committed and communicate to him that you're committed to help to meet this need. We need to not shame our spouses because they have a sexual need. Again, I mean, that's not, that right there is,
that's not, that's,
it's
that's
really, nice. It's communicating.
That's not nice.
It's communicating rejection, and we don't want our spouse to feel rejected. We don't want to feel rejected. And we're going to talk about kind of, you know, there's another side to this for the guys that we're going to get to, but, we need to communicate that we accept your need and we're willing to meet it. And most men don't love non-sexual touches. Just so you know, I mean, not saying that there's never a place for that, but they are very much, you know, visually motivated.
It's like 80-20. Some guys do.
That's yeah.
All, and you got to work with what works for you. But the goal is to find out what your spouse likes. I mean, like she said, 20% of the women are more sexually driven than their husbands, and for a lot of different reasons. But that's just how it goes. And you know, I don't know. I don't know how that works, but it's great. So, you know, good for you, fellas. I mean, you know, you win the lottery. So just live the dream. But the point is that we've got to meet each other's needs where they're at, where we're at. And, you know, for me, I hug and I cuddle and we touch and we do those kind of things that are the non-sexual type of things, because I know that she likes it, and that gets her motor running, which helps to get my motor running. So you know, this is reciprocal, and you got to find this out, and you got to remember this. You can't just come home and flip on the switch all the time. I mean, that does happen, but you got to be aware that, fellas, there's a part of this to play in these categories that, you know, we're putting God first, and now we're working on the marriage. And if you put God first, He is going to steer you toward meeting her needs,
right,
and not just finding your own. Because now you step back into selfishness. Selfishness doesn't work for anybody. It's truly the number one cause for divorce is the word selfishness. I want what I want. They won't give it to me. I'm done. And really, like Mark said earlier, it's like, if you really want what you want, it's not the natural. It doesn't feel like the natural way. You're not trying to extract it. You're actually saying, okay, I'm going to lay what I want here for a minute. Because I want that. Well, I'm going to set that down for a minute, and I'm going to find out what she needs, and I'm going to meet that need for as long as it takes until she starts to feel those feelings again and reciprocate. And that's where we come back
to. Well, then, yeah, and part of that,
number
two, again, men aren't sexually necessarily, they don't love the non-sexual touches, but do you know what they really do like? I mean, and ladies, we just have to say it. They like to see their wives naked or in lingerie, and that is...
And we have a picture of...
No.
It's bad. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Don't do that. Let's talk about that for a minute. That kind of stuff... I'm joking, but that kind of stuff that we're joking about is stuff that guys get stuck in. And I'm telling you what, when you're looking at stuff that's not your wife, it's the quickest way to damage intimacy with your spouse. It is not just an addiction. It's yielding to spirits. It's yielding to things that are not godly that want to wreck your life. I don't think the church talks about it enough, but pornography is like one of the number one causes of problems in our society right now in a vast sense. I mean, talk about all the gender identity crisis and all this stuff. It comes back to the roots of it are... What are you putting your thoughts on? What are you looking at? What are you spending your attention on? And as married people, there's no place. Listen to me. There's no place for pornography in our marriage. It doesn't matter if you agree. And at this moment, you're both like, yeah, we're both into it. Y'all need to check with Jesus. Because I promise you, you would not be partaking of that stuff if the Lord shows up on the couch. You'd be like, babe, where's the remote? Like, well, now.
It's bringing a third party into your marriage. And there's no room for that. Mm-mm, it doesn't work. It's a recipe for disaster, really, is what it is. So you have so much to say about my topic right now.
I'm so sorry.
Imagine that. So I will wrap I'll wrap this up with, ladies, be more sexual than you feel. Because the truth is, when we behave sexually, you know what I mean. Sorry, this is an odd way to say it. If we respond sexually, honestly... And then we're expecting matching libido is just not going to happen very often. So go ahead and just wrap your head around that and go, I'm going to love my husband. I'm going to be more sexual than I feel. I'm going to try to meet his needs as much as possible and be energetic and enthusiastic about that, because a husband does not want a reluctant partner.
It's true.
Yeah. So
part of that point is that, fellas, we want our wives to be not just yielding, but into it, right? And that's a big part of this is we want you there with us.
But I will say, and we talked about this too, the balance is, you know, if you have a spouse who's like 12 times a month is my jam, and others like 3 times a month is my jam, then we need to have some conversations and we need to reach a compromise. It can't just be the 3 times a month is the one that wins out, because then there's no compromise. There's really no serving your spouse in that way. If you just go, we're going to go to the lowest number. No, we need to meet somewhere in the middle, you know? And I think serving and loving each other would say, you know, sometimes he may want it and you're like, I'd really rather not, let's cuddle. And sometimes, and that's okay. And then other times you go, yeah, let's go. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Anything else?
So much. But we don't have.
All right, see you, babe.
Okay, fellas, is everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Second one for ladies is non-sexual affection. So like side by side on the docket, ladies want non-sexual touch, right? And affection, and the guys want sex. So it's like, how do we do that at the same time? Usually it's not at the same time. Can't be, right? There's a buildup, there's a lead up. Guys, you got to be willing to, you know, put in the effort. And ladies, sometimes you got to be willing to, you know, not make him earn it all the time. You know what I mean? Is this okay? This is a marriage conference, right? Everybody, you didn't think you were coming to some other business seminar or something. You're like, what is happening? This is a marriage conference. So sex is a big piece of this. And we need to understand that our needs are different and we need to be willing. Again, back to the servant piece, we need to be willing to meet the needs of our spouse. And so we have this conversation a lot because I'm a dude and I forget that she wants me to stop when I'm going past her in the kitchen and just put my arm around her or give her a hug or, you know, rub my hand on her back, right? And
Without
groping, right? She does. I want to smack Max on every cut of it. But I got to think, no, that's not what she wants. That's not what she wants. So I'm going to do what she wants. And you guys seen these memes. Come on. We are not all prudes in here. So we've seen these things. But I'm telling you, it's important that we yield to that because what we're communicating is that what you want is more important than what I want. And I'm going to give you what you want. And I know that that will come back around. But I still want to meet your needs, even if it doesn't lead to anything today or whatever. It's me wanting to meet your needs, letting her know I care for you and I care for you more than just what you can do for me. That was too quiet. Okay.
Yeah, but I think sometimes fellas know that it might not happen right away. Like really be willing to go, I'm just gonna hold you and not expect anything else. And that it takes time, but as you kind of start building that non-sexual touching, it really starts to fill our tank, right? And so give it time. Be consistent. It'll pay off.
Yes. Hold her hand. Put your arm around her. If you have no idea what to do in this, ask the Lord. Lord, I need Holy Spirit. I need you to teach me how to do this. I need you to remind me of the things I can do that will fill her tank, that will make her feel loved and not objectified. That she knows that I seriously care about her. And if you're just the dude that says that's just not the way I am, I don't, you know, everything leads toward the goal I want, then you have to change. You have to, it's not a valid excuse anymore. We have to make adjustments because it's not about me. It's not, you know, it's not about me. It's about her. This is a marriage. This is a covenant. We're together. Now I'm committing to meet her needs and she's committing to meet mine. And if we'll both do that and get better and better at it, you will both have your needs met.
Well, and it comes from a place of love, ultimately, right? I love him, and so I do want to meet his needs. It's not that I'm meeting his needs so he can meet mine. I'm loving him, so I'm meeting his needs. And if we keep that perspective, that service, then it just...
It's a fruit of serving one another.
Absolutely.
Yep. Okay. I think so.
Okay, number three. Men want to be friends with their wives. Corey and I have talked a little bit about this one. I'm like, do men really want to be friends with their wives? You know, do we really want to? And I think they do, you know, first of all, they don't want to be mothered. They have a mother and they want us to come out of our world into their world. You know, I think about when Corey and I first got together, he likes working on motors and motorcycles and things like that. And I would just sit in the garage with him while he worked on a bike. Right. And I think it kind of, part of that is I think our men like to kind of show us, look what I can do, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right. It's lovely. You know, Chris rides motorcycles Sorry. I'm so sorry. Sorry to you. Apologize to his dad. They're both into motocross. Yes.
BMX. No, BMX. Not motorcycles.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in so much trouble. But, you know, they like to have their wife come and watch them do BMX. I'll never mix that up again. I'm so sorry. Because they do like to show they want their wives into the world. I think that, you know, Corey wants me to fly with him. Y'all just keep praying for me. But they want to share their lives with us. They want us to go shoulder to shoulder. And honestly, when we are shoulder to shoulder with them, when we're doing things with them, it helps to build intimacy on their level where they can have moments where they can start sharing their heart because it's not so on the spot, talk to me. It's more, we're buddies, we're hanging out. We're going to talk about life.
There's a lot of conversation that happened while she's watching me wrench on that motorcycle, that hog, put that baby back together. When she heard it fire up, I knew she felt it. But there's something about bringing your wife into your world, right? She sees that you're capable, you're doing something, you're productive, you're accomplishing things. That's part of that respect and honor. It's, ladies, if you'll just find a way to do that in one way, shape, or form where your husband's trying to draw you in, you'll bring out, honestly, you'll bring out the talker in him. We had so many conversations just while I was, tweaking the carburetor, and she would just ask me questions while I was, because I was in my element, I was doing what I like to do, and you just start to open up. So if you want your husband to talk, and fellas, you need to talk, find the ways where you're comfortable in doing that, and it's totally worth it. Right?
Amen.
So that brings us back to, is that the same as mine? What happened here? Okay. So back to what the ladies want. The ladies do want this intimacy. They want to talk. They want to hear your heart. And so, fellas, one of the best ways for you to open up is to get in your element. We were talking about a story where the wife was trying to salvage the marriage, and her husband was a hunter, loved it, super into it. And she was like, why would you go out at 3 o'clock in the morning? That's insane. And so it was always this contention, but he loved hunting, right? I see a bunch of guys hide or smiling. They're like, yeah, that's when you go out, is 3 o'clock in the morning. But she figured out, I want to connect with him and we haven't. So I'm going to go. I'm going to tell him, hey, I want to go hunting with you. Well, after she picked him up off the floor, you okay? He's like, seriously? And so he was so pumped. He got her the gear. Like, he got her the pants not the XL that he had from last year, men's pants. He went and got her pink camel pants and her thinsulate boots. And he got her all the gear so that when she was out there, she was comfortable. She was in her element. They got to talk. And she was like, he started talking to me about stuff that had nothing to do with hunting, like stuff from his childhood and how he was raised and like stuff I didn't even know about. Why? He was in his element. He was in a place where he could like share some things, right? Like, and because of course he knew when to shut up. Shh. Here comes the deer. Stop talking. Shh. But you get him in his element, he'll open up. So fellas, just find a way. We do want this friendship. That part of that is we want friendship with a wife. Not in everything. I think it's okay to have some things that you do that are for you. But I think, the farther you get in kids and kids coming out of the house and in going into that empty nest place, the more you want to have in common. I mean, find some things you can do together now that you'll enjoy, and you'll be surprised at what comes out of that when you make an effort.
Right. Do you want to talk about?
Yes, I so do. So, fellas, just talking to your wife. Find a place that fits for you. If it's, ladies, if it's in the garage, is that okay if he talks to you if it's in the garage? No. Okay.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
Wherever this is. But I would say, fellas, on the flip side is your ladies are trying to get you a place where you talk, but you also have to just make the effort. You got to step out and talk. You've got to take the time to, even if you're nervous, even if you're frustrated, even if you don't know what they're going to talk about. What is this going to be? What is she going to peer into my soul? I don't know. But there might be a time when you sit across from each other in a chair with no distractions and you just look at each other and just allow your wife to ask you questions. Allow her to draw some things out of you and be willing to answer open and honestly and just share some things. You just...
Well, and to ask her questions, to talk to her, to ask her, what's going well, what's not. Because we do, we need to process our world, our home, our children with our spouse. And it's important to have that time to talk. Some would go, well, I'm just not a talker. Well, some women, on the flip side, we were talking, some women might go, I just don't want to have sex. Well, we told the ladies, you should have sex with your husband. And so vice versa, the men, you need to talk to your wives. You need to just have the conversations, be willing to put away the phone, be willing to turn off the TV and to just look each other in the face and go, what's on your heart? How's your stress level? How are the kids? What can I help you with? Is there something that's bothering you? Asking those really direct questions is going to meet a need in your wife that is a big need. to have those questions, to have
that
conversation.
If you've never done that, you need to do that. Maybe today. But you need to spend some time talking, and you'd be amazed at what comes out of it.
So Corey and I, you know, we try to, you know, we've got kids and we've got stuff and we've got church, and there's been times where he's like, okay, I'm ready to talk. And he'll lay down on the couch. I'm like, are you awake? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, open your eyes. I mean, come
laying
on.
Down is not a good time to
No, talk. It's not. So I would also encourage, be in a posture where you're an active listener, right? If you're laying on the couch with your eyes closed, guess what? It's not connecting. So, I mean, just think about things like that. If you're looking at your phone, if you pick up your phone when she takes a breath, just no, just put it away. Just put it away. Give her time and be okay with quiet. That's something, too, we talk about a lot. It's like sometimes you'll be sitting in the living room and nobody's talking. And so we have a habit of just pulling out our phone. And I often say, I'm like, that's a conversation killer. Like, let's get bored together. Let's put away the phone. Let's turn off the TV. And if we sit in silence for a little bit, you know, I think eventually most of the time somebody will say something. Something will pop into your brain.
Play a game, and you'll take a walk, do something.
Yeah, but be okay with quiet. Be okay with not having a phone or a device just always in your hand, always on. Put them away. It'll be good for your marriage. You won't regret it.
So one of the things that they asked women was, where do women consider that great sex begins? So we're back to sex again. Sorry.
Good.
I like to circle back to this.
It's actually all very intertwined.
The women said that great sex begins with her life as a whole, meaning it's not just an event for her. It's all encompassing. So many women find intimate conversation stimulating and bring them to a place of talk to me, hold me, all of these things lead them to a place where they want to connect with you in that way. And so communication, talking, opening up, sharing some things, it's going to help you, fellas. It's going to help you. You gotta be willing. You cannot be closed down with your wife. She's the one that's supposed to know your stuff, and you got to talk.
Honestly, too, if you would say, I'm not a talker, I don't know how to do this, your wife can help you. Just let her help you. And wives, be patient. Be a place that he feels safe to talk. If he's sharing something, don't slam his idea. Don't tell him he's wrong. You know, listen and be a loving, gentle place for him to talk and share. And that's a really big thing, too.
Yep.
Good?
Yeah.
Is my turn?
It is.
Awesome. All right. So
wrap it.
Number four need is support at home. Men want support at home. You know, on one side, men should do kind of help in the home as well, especially, you know, really, it's something you need to talk about. If you have two working spouses, then that work at home probably should be shared. And if you don't, maybe you're firm, maybe you don't, everybody's got different scenarios. That's something you need to talk about. But this idea that everything in the house is the wife's responsibility isn't quite accurate. But that being said, we have a gift of nesting, you know, we make a house a home. And that is something that is a blessing to our husbands, for it to be a place of peace, for it to be a place of rest, not a place of turmoil or chaos. It means a lot when it is a place that can be restful, it could be a haven. So that's another big need.
And when you have kids, that changes a lot, because they are little tornadoes pretty much all day long. And they're constantly making messes. So really, guys, we got to be, you know, at least understanding of that point. But coming home, having a peaceful house when there's not fighting and bickering and it's a restful place is a need. And it's wonderful that you guys do that, because it helps a lot. And again, roles change and jobs and all that, but just be aware that's a piece of it.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead.
So tomorrow I'm going to spend a little bit of time on leadership. We're going to wrap up because I have 30 seconds. So buckle up. First of all, I want to call out all the guys that only wrote down in their book, you could have sex 12 times a month. I saw you. I know what you were doing. And you wrote that down. And that was the only thing you wrote down. But leadership in the home, fellas, your wives want. They want leadership in the home. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow and what that looks like in the pieces of it. Maybe just give you a couple other things to look at. But really comes down to initiation. They want us to initiate. They want us to step out and say, hey, they don't want you to figure it all out necessarily. We do that together because we're a couple. We're working together. But they do want us to like have a plan or initiate. Hey, let's start the conversation. I don't know what we're going to I don't know what we're going to decide on. I want your input. I want you to say what you think about this subject, but we need to sit down and talk about it so that we can hash this out and be on the same page with kids, with finances, with work, with vacations. They want us to initiate.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. So we're going to talk about the initiation step of leadership and what that looks like.
You know that?
That's what I want to do today.
All right. I love it.
I want to step on tomorrow's stuff.
So, you know, bottom line, Jesus is the only one that can truly meet our needs. And really, once Jesus has met those deepest needs, then there are important needs that we can help to meet for each other. But, you know, like Pastor Mark was saying, you know, being that whole person coming in and then working on these other things will just help to make our marriages.
Which is why we
spend on earth,
husband and wife, because it's not my job to make her do what my needs are. It's my job to meet her needs and her job to see what I need.
Well,
and it's reciprocal.
And it all comes from a servant's heart. Yeah. That's right. Amen.
All right, let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us awake. You're awesome. We thank you that you're showing us some things from the Word and from just some good tools and advice, things to think about. Lord, I pray that everything that we're talking about, Lord, there'll be a nugget in there for each and every couple to take home and to develop and to pray about and to seek you. Lord, we want to honor you with our lives, first and foremost. Us in a relationship with you, we want to honor you. And God, we want to be everything that we're supposed to be for our spouse, because marriage is a covenant relationship that you honor, that your hand is on, that your blessing is on. And God, we want to do that in the right way. So God, teach us, help us, show us what it is that we're supposed to do. We love you. We're so thankful for you. Thank you for helping us in every possible way. We give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.